Totnes Breakfast.
Good morning. Welcome to the full Totnes Breakfast on Sound Art Radio 102.5 FM with myself, Peter Sharon. It is 8 o'clock on a Thursday morning, the 26th of August. Welcome to the show. Thank you very much for tuning in. On the show today, we will be joined by Mr. John Inder, who is a local poet and musician. And he'll be joining us very soon. And we'll be talking about his new band. Well, I say it's new. It probably isn't that new, actually, thinking about it. But yeah, they've been working through the pandemic, putting themselves together. And we'll be chatting about all things inspirational this morning, and including some music from The Bridge, which we will start off with, is John Inder. And he I think he's written all the tunes. So we shall go into the first one of his. And this is a song called Show. It's great to have you on the program. And yeah, that had an up-tempo style to it. It was joyous. It had a positive feeling. Now, one of the things I noticed about your music, very generally, very positive. It's got a positive vibe to it. Is that something you've, well, obviously you've done on purpose, but is that something you're keen to get across?
Yeah, I think I've, in terms of kind of the way I write and what I write, I have got, you know, quite a few introspective songs. But when I come to write, I think particularly now, I try to sort of, if I have got something that is too introspective or sort of downbeat, if you like, I try and turn it around, because I've always responded myself to positive music, I guess. A lot of the great sort of artists that I've, you know, that I've been sort of influenced by or you know, have enjoyed, there's a sort of a positivity is a kind of a common thread. And that goes across all genres of music, really.
Right. You're drawn to my influences.
I mean, Curtis Mayfield, for example, the track that I'm choosing to put on later on.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely massive sort of presence, but a positive presence in terms of kind of, you know, upward sort of mobility for kind of the people in America and kind of, you know, that whole thing of, just trying to aspire to kind of be positive. And that's because of the profound truth that I think positivity sort of engenders sort of positive action, positive attitude enables, you know, positive things to happen. And that goes across all parts of society, I think, and personal relationships as well. You know, I mean, I think that sort of it's a kind of a general thing.
Yeah.
In my years, I think that's one little nugget of
I think that sounds very positive to put it that way. Would I be right in saying you are pretty obsessed with music?
You would be right, yeah. I mean, I'm obsessed with quite a few things as it happens. I'm kind of one of those people, if you get me talking after too many drinks in the wrong situation, I can pin you down for hours talking about stuff and rambling on. So it was when I decided to go on the show here, I did warn you, you know, if you opened me up about music, I could, you know, I could talk all morning about Curtis Mayfield, let alone.
we'll have Curtis in a bit, actually. So we'll bring Curtis into the show next up. But the songs that I wanted to play on the show. I wanted to play the band The Bridge. How long has The Bridge been going?
I'd say kind of properly since about 2018, but we actually only had our first gig in 2019. We played at the Launch Pad up at the Bay Horse in a very sort of cramped sort of situation.
That's where you get two bands on a night, isn't it?
With a lineup. That's right, the thing that Adrian puts on locally.
Adrian Burtwell.
Absolutely good. Was that his studio opening last night? Great fun.
All right, good.
And then we played at Party in the Town was our first sort of proper gig, I guess, in terms of having plenty of room to kind of, you know, put on a performance properly. And that was with a guitarist, Sam Heston, in the band, who has since left, and we've now got
Will
Tyler on guitar, which is working out fantastically. And I would sort of say, in many respects, we all feel like our kind of first gig, as we are really, as the
the one you did at Ashburton. We'll go into that.
At the Great Lawn Sessions when we played.
Of course, yes.
Two
with him, yeah. So when you did the party in the town, which venue were you in?
We played upstairs at the Dartmouth, down at the bottom of town.
Yep.
And we managed to sort of have quite a nice crowd, people kind of packed in out of the rain, and it went well, actually. And as I say, it was kind of, I think we've all evolved musically since then. I certainly have. I mean, I think one thing I would say, you know, I'm absolutely privileged to have the kind of musicians I've got behind me. Absolutely fantastic.
Awesome. I would say the lineup of The Bridge is, take us through the lineup, because they are a quality set of musicians you got with you there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I started off, you know, I to give you kind of the full history, I guess, I started off sort of writing poetry when I was kind of younger, when I was at sixth form, and kind of that's been my sort of main creative outlet for many years. Then I was part of a big kind of carnival band called Carnival Collective, and had the sort of pleasure to sort of play at festivals all around the country and around Europe and stuff.
And where was
percussion as part of a, where, that was based up in Brighton.
Okay.
In Brighton.
Yeah.
But I didn't write an actual song until moving down here. And I formed an acoustic duo with a colleague I work with at Green Life called Michael.
Oh, I know Michael.
And
lovely
guy. Sort of did some, and some of the songs that we actually performed as The Bridge were had their incarnation early on with Michael. And then after splitting with him, I sort of teamed up with Paul Hussle, who's one of the sort of, who's the other founder member of The Bridge. Absolutely. One of these kind of ridiculously talented people.
He makes me sick.
Multiple instruments. Yeah, yeah. he's a fantastic piano player and composer. And his melodies, some of the tunes, were written over his melodies were absolutely gorgeous.
He's one of those guys.
Stand alone as,
I know a few people like Paul, very few, but one or two people like him that can literally pick up any instrument and they just play it very, very well.
Yeah.
And you think,
absolutely.
How have you had time to learn to play all these instruments so bloody well?
Yeah. So he's on trombone on some tracks, which obviously, on the recording that we did, back in 2020. And he's plays cello on a songs there, and he can't always do everything live that he does on the recording.
Mm.
Or at least in the case of one of the songs where he put cello when we did that. And he also plays guitar, so he's sort of, and some of the songs have been written on guitar parts that he kind of came up with and we chopped around with. And so we started off as a sort of a duo, and then we added a drummer, Charlie Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic drummer, and he's evolved massively, I would say, and I think he would agree with that his playing has kind of grown while he's been, with us. And one of the reasons being, I kind of, because of my broad musical influences, we sort of hop around all sorts of musical styles.
Right, so and, when you're doing
so he's had to stretch himself, quite a challenge.
We need a break beat, we need a such and such, we need a one drop.
Yeah, I've got to get a reggae feel on now. Now we're in 6/8, now we're in, and he's kind of, and he rises to the challenge, and he's conquered all of them so far. So
that's the best way to learn, isn't it, of all ways?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hmm.
And then we've got Martin Hart holding it down on bass. Martin Roberts, on bass. Martin, and he's a good friend and a fantastic musician. Some of his bass parts that he's put to tunes have kind of completely changed them, really. And Show being a good example of that, when he added that bass line, that was just the absolute icing on the cake with that one.
Did he take it in a new direction, or was it just...
He did, yeah. I mean, that tune's got an interesting kind of history. I started off, I had the song in my head as a full band song. And I was to perform it with Michael, where I played percussion myself. So I used to sort of play the breakbeat on a cajon.
Mm-hmm.
And attempt to sort of sing it. But I knew in my head that I wanted this bell part and I wanted backing singers and I wanted horns. And of course, I didn't have any of those things. And so to have evolved that with the band has been fantastic.
Now, when you've got a horn part
in
your tune, that one, I mean, it's a very catchy little horn section part there. What does that feel like when, for example, I saw you, Ash Burton, doing that song, and you've got a little horn section in the corner of the room doing this little, really nice little measure, or whatever you want to call it. How did that feel for you personally, being on stage and being a part of the music you developed, coming out across and being played live?
It felt like heaven, I'll be honest with you. It's fantastic. I mean, particularly when it's played well and tight. I'm quite a perfectionist, really, and we rehearse hard, and I think it pays off.
Mm.
And yeah, it's just great to have that sort of tight horn sound. I always love horns. I love horns in a lot of the reggae that I love and the funk and the soul music that I enjoy, you know, down from the Motown stuff to, you know, Atlantic and all of that kind of, you know, those labels. And then also on, you know, on other types of music and other artists, I've always been a fan of that, whether it's Stevie Wonder or Prince or, you know, just a good tight horn section. That's definitely.
Sure. And yeah, getting back to your the members of the band, let's stay in that group.
Yeah, so moving through, yeah. Well, another example, I mean, you heard on show there, Georgia Swallow on backing vocals, absolutely beautiful voice. You know, greater singer than me, actually, isn't it? And which is, I'm so pleased to have her on board. And she's a multi-instrumentalist too. She turns her hand to playing bass or guitar.
Mm.
You know, on tracks, so there's that swapping around. As did Martin. You know, Martin plays trumpet on one of the other tunes we're going to play later, right. And plays trumpet on show. So we had a two-piece horn section in the studio for that. Although when we performed live, we had a guest musician there.
Yes, a saxophonist turned up.
Yeah, Carl Gibbs turned up, and he played with us at you know, the Great Lawn Sessions as well, which was a lovely gig.
Very good.
And so yeah, so we're hoping to kind of always try and take a horn section with us on stage when we do sort of shows.
Yeah, because, well, it's an irresistible thing when you get a horn section on a live set. Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah. It really brings it alive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. And then
so moving through the band, you've then got Will Tyler, who I don't know, what can I say? It's been the kind of transformation of the sound, really. He's can turn his hand to all sorts of styles. Again, like Paul, he's one of these kind of, you know, stupidly talented people. Fantastic bass player himself. Also plays drums and plays, you know, drums in another band that I play with, Georgia. Leads a band called Kiki and the Cover-Ups, which we just do sort of covers. So I play percussion on that and a bit of backing vocals. And he plays drums in that outfit. And then here he is sort of, you know,
oh, is that with guitar. Eli? Absolutely. Is that with Eli?
That's with Eli, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, dear friend.
On the Totnes scene. Yeah.
Aha, very good.
So, so that's the band, really. That's and, you know, Will's playing is, like I say, he's, you know, Sam Heston we had on the recordings that you're hearing. Mm. Does a fine job. Won't take it away from him at all.
But, yes.
You know, when it...
But
it's,
it,
sort
it
of
always happens
tunes,
when you get a new different person in the band, it thing. Changes so we, what you
yeah.
do. Yeah,
it does. And, you know, he's got lots of sort of pedals and effects, but also he can turn his hand to other styles.
Mm.
You know, yes. Sam's essentially a blues player, whereas when it comes to funk and reggae and these other things, Will was, I think, just enjoys those styles of music, it would be fair to say, a lot more. So that shows and shines through in his playing.
So you've got a lot of classy musicians there bringing a lot to the party. Now, Curtis Mayfield is the track you chose to play us now. What is it about this track that you wanted to make sure we included?
Yeah, I mean, I agonised over the choice, actually, because I love so many different artists from different genres, you know, from kind of Neil Young to Ben Harper to Prince to, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of people that I could say, but Curtis Mayfield, as we were discussing earlier, that thing about positivity, he's just, there's a sort of almost, his recordings to me, he's got I'm kind of hesitant to use the word, but there's a sort of spiritual element to what he sings and what he delivers. There's a kind of a purity to it that I just love.
We're a winner. I never let anybody say, boy, you can't make it, 'cause some people mad is in your way. No more tears do we cry, and we have finally dried our eyes. We're moving on up, Lord have mercy, we're moving on up, we're moving on up. Well, every proof in all's alert that we're two from the complexion. And we're a winner, and everybody knows it too. We just keep on pushing, like your leaders tell you to. At last that blessed day has come, and I don't care where you come from. We're all moving on up, moving on up. Lord have mercy, we're moving on up, moving on. Just gonna move on, moving on. Lord have mercy, we're moving on. We're moving on. You know, you may remember reading in your Jet Johnson publications, a whole lot of stations didn't want to play that particular recording. We're a winner. Can you imagine such a thing? Well, I would say the way I'm sure most of you would say, we don't give a damn, we're a winner anyway. Right on? Yeah, I got a little strength out there tonight. Putting fire under. Out of sight. It's all right now. We have just another version that we'd like to lay to you about here. Believing very strongly in the equality and freedom for all, and especially we people who are darker than blue. We'd like to just lay another version to you, trying not to offend anyone, but basically telling it like it is. We're a winner, and never let anybody say, boy, you can't make it, cause a feeble mind is in your way. No more tears do we cry, the black boy done dried his eyes. And we're moving on up, moving on up. Lord have mercy, we're moving on up now, moving on up. There'll be no more Uncle Tom, at last that blessed day has come. And we're a winner, and everybody knows it too. We just keep on pushing, like Martin Luther told you to. And I don't mind leaving here to show the world we have no fear, cause we're moving on up, moving on up. Lord have mercy, we're moving on up, we're moving on up. So people get ready, I've got good news for you. How we got over, like we're all supposed to do. Let us all say amen, and together we'll clap our hands, cause we're moving on up, moving on up. Lord have mercy, we're moving on up, moving on up. Continue to be a winner, all of you.
That was Curtis Mayfield, as chosen by John Indo, who was with us this morning. And we were talking about the band The Bridge. And you've done these recordings, which we're going to play from next, and we've had one already. Now, how did you get those organised? Because did you do them during lockdown?
Yeah, we did. We sort of did them back in October 2020. So we had a period of sort of rehearsal before that, kind of distance sort of rehearsal and stuff, and it was nice to have something positive to kind of focus on at that time. Definitely, I think it all helped us psychologically, you know, after having had a gig in 2019, and then, you know, it's quite a long period of time before we sort of got to play again together. This was, I say, with Sam Heston on guitar at that time.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're really pleased with the recordings. You know, I must admit, listening back, I feel like I could sing all the songs better than I
everybody
did then.
Does that.
That was my first proposal.
Every single person who's ever recorded anything.
I'm sure, though, it's true. And the other thing, you know, I'd love to have all of the recordings with the current guitar player, Will, because what he's added on some of the songs, or all of them, really, has been wonderful and kind of enriching.
Did you go to a dedicated studio to do the recordings?
Yeah, we went out to Matt Borden and Lucy's sort of studio and recorded out there. And it was a great experience, actually. You know, I'm not the most confident sort of musician. I'm getting more confident, I guess. And certainly for my first proper recording experience, you know, as a singer, that was, you know, really nice, kind of comfortable environment. And yeah, I'd recommend them to anybody to work with. It was fab.
Mm.
And we sort of just went in there and worked really hard. We rehearsed really hard before it. And, you know, out of, you know, 3 days recording, we managed to get 7 recordings. So it was good.
So it's quite a complicated setup for recording, I would imagine, with all of the band playing together. You would have had lots of sections of the room in which you had to isolate the sound and all that sort of thing.
Actually, yeah, we could have done it that way, but I'll be honest, we didn't, because we were pretty well rehearsed. They were essentially done almost as live takes.
All right.
You know, the vocals that I did, you know, I was separated. And we had the intention, really, of re-recording all the vocals, but as it happened, we kind of kept the tracks that we had. We did the overdubs with the horns, with a cello on a track that we're not playing this morning.
Mm.
Called You Know I Do. And there was also Georgia's backing vocal. She came in on the sort of second day of recording and laid all of those down then. And we had the great pleasure of having, you know, several Georgias on lots of the tunes, which, you know, all the different harmonies, just lovely to have that layered effect as well.
Yeah.
So on show, you know, she's sort of, there's I think 2 or 3 on all the way through.
It's clearly a live performance. In having listened to these tracks, it's one of those things that if you've got someone who's layered up a piece of music, it can become very rigid and locked in, where there is a bit of flow through these.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if we'd had more time and kind of more money to throw at it, we would have spent longer on each song, and we could probably you know, certainly now, as I say, we could record them, some of them, better and everything else. But at the same time, we were just sort of determined to get a body of material recorded so people could hear us when we came to sort of promote the band.
But it also, in terms of, it's your own perfections that are of shielding your recognition of how good these tracks are, to some extent, I think, in that it, when you hear tracks from a band from the beginning through to now, or whenever they're currently playing, you get a bit of a story that generates, and it's just a growth that you hear from a band and how they start melding together more. And one of the things that struck me, having seen you recently at Ashburton, was just how tight you all are. And it really surprised me, because of the lockdown situation. That's caused issues with people being able to rehearse together. But you sounded like a very competently well-rehearsed band when you came onto the stage on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I know that's just credit to everyone. It's absolutely true. And we were well-rehearsed. We sort of put in a lot of extra work. And I'm just grateful that everyone was sort of happy to step up and do that, and, you know, took a real pride in being tight. And we all feel, you know, we can get tighter still. You know, we want to be one of those bands that can turn on a pin and, you know, suddenly drop parts out, keep going, extend, you know, that whole kind of, you know, I'm not saying I'll ever be a sort of James Brown leading a band at Prince, stopping
hand signalling and screaming.
But, you know, but it is a lovely thing to have a kind of
You it's just a thing that comes from being in a band, isn't it? You just be able to start looking at people and go, Ticket to the Bridge, which incidentally is that where you got the name of the band from?
It's not. No, it's actually, funnily enough, it sort of goes back to sort of some of the poetry that I love and some of the imagery in some of the poetry that I love. And the bridge, actually, I just took the image from the great Sufi poet Rumi. So it's kind of, yeah, not a literal bridge or a musical bridge. Don't really want to speak any more about it. It's just the image and the of a bridge.
It just suits you.
I think so, and it's open. It's open enough. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, bridges, not walls, you know what I mean, in terms of kind of general...
Yeah, yeah, again, the positivity of, going in.
Yeah.
And you, when you were in Brighton, when did you move to Totnes, by the way, roughly?
2012. So I moved down here then, and as I say, I'd never written songs at all, you know, before moving down here. I've been in a, you know, a band for sort of 10 years, sort of playing percussion, you know, and played lots of stages all around, played Glastonbury every year and kind of got to tour around with them, but very much a kind of a, you know, a cog in
a machine,
cog in a sort of a big machine, a big band.
Yeah.
So, you know, and also an interchangeable one that, you know, we had a very big lineup and, you know, not all players would play every gig. So
yeah,
very different kind of thing. Mm. Learned a lot about being on a stage and
yes,
with
I was going to get to
playing
that,
in front of hundreds of people and all of that stuff. Yeah, so I think I kind of conquered part of that. Although it's very, very different, obviously, singing something you've, you know, written yourself to people. And even, in fact, just singing, performing, that's a total different type of performance. But
and one thing, what I'm always interested
performing
in...
Performing my poetry, I had some experience as well, sort of performing in front of audiences, yeah.
One thing I'm always interested in is what drew you to our area of town, our Totnes, our area of the country.
Well, I mean, I grew up actually in Dartmouth,
so it's
my kind of
home.
And I went to sixth form in Totnes sort of many years ago.
Obviously, yeah.
My father lives down here, so yeah. When I kind of moved out of Brighton for a sort of change of pace, I sort of settled down here and wasn't sure I was going to stay, I'll be honest, but discovered this wonderful sort of creative energy in Totnes, which I think is a, you know, something that we were discussing in the pub actually last night, sort of some of the band, you know, there's a very sort of good amount of people creating things, making things happen here.
Mm.
Much the same in Brighton, actually, on a much bigger scale.
Yeah.
But people think these towns, you know, certain towns have just... I don't know, have just inherently got something, and it's not. It's actually down to individuals, people, you know, like Adrian or Christian Murison or Katie, you know, making things happen, kind of, and then venue owners and kind of people enabling that, and then the populations for supporting those things happening.
Yeah, it's when people do things well, you aspire to go to that level, don't you? You're drawn to follow those people in some ways. I mean,
yeah.
A good example is your keyboardist and cellist and trombonist and all the rest of it, Paul Hussle.
Yeah,
when you're in a band with someone who plays extremely well, the whole level comes up, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's true of, I think we all kind of inspire each other within the band, which is great. But yeah, I can't say enough about Paul's kind of musicality, really.
Mm.
I mean, that's the sort of always was the heart of the thing initially. It enabled me to sort of expand the sounds that I was producing from doing kind of stuff with a kind of a folky sort of duo to then being able to perform.
Yeah, we're talking funk, we're talking reggae, we've got all sorts of genres melding into what you do.
Yeah.
That's the right melting pot of stuff. And the idea of you being on a stage, being the front guy, that was, how were you when you did your first performance, for example? Mate, let's think about Party in the Town. How did you feel about standing in front of these people and being the front guy?
I felt good. I mean, I was much more nervous for that gig. I had done lots of open mic kind of performances and did gigs with the folk duo that I was part of with Michael. And, you know, we played at Unit 43 supporting Lewis and Lee, doing some sort of acoustic material there. One of the songs which we've, two of them which we've since rearranged as bridge songs. But that was just kind of, yeah, acoustic guitar, me and my harmonicas, and very kind of in the vein of kind of, you know, Neil Young, Bob Dylan, Jackson C. Frank, all of that kind of thing, I guess.
Mm.
But yeah, in front of a full band, it felt great actually to actually have the big sound behind me.
Yeah, I guess having a bunch of people with you on the stage genuinely almost physically supporting situation.
So oh, totally.
You feel, yeah, and having such a tight band, you must feel very safe.
I think that's one reason I sort of push to rehearse so hard, and everyone else recognises that too within the band, that you do get a confidence from being tight that then can help, I think, offset any kind of nerves or whatever you might have about other parts of your individual performance, because you're kind of reassured, like you're saying, you're reassured by the sound you've got behind you. Mm. You know, I can make a mistake, but what's going on behind me is still great. So I can kind of let that go, settle myself, get over the mistake, move on, you know, and it's kind of having that is wonderful.
Well, that's the big skill, isn't it? Every musician makes mistakes. It's how you cope with that mistake is the sign of how well you're getting on, really.
I totally agree with you. And I think, you know, the very best musicians, you don't even see any mistakes. And they're kind of, like you say, they just become changes rather than mistakes. And that's down to fast thinking and responsive sort of playing behind you in the band.
And not panicking.
And not panicking, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I want to get on to another song, because time is flooding past us.
Yeah, sure. I did warn you, I could waffle on all morning.
So. No, this happens every day. I have to cope. I have to keep an eye on the clock. But Love is a Straight Line is what I'm going to play next.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about that song.
Well, this features, you know, Martin, our brilliant bass player, on trumpet, beautiful trumpet solo that he added to this. First performed it just with Paul. It's one of the first songs that Paul and I worked at together. I had a line actually from an old notebook poem, Love is a Straight Line, and kind of that image of, you know, there are no straight lines in nature, and, you know, that the kind of contrasting that with the, yeah, with kind of, yeah, sort of exploring that sort of lyrical idea, very simple. And it's, yeah, not much to song sort of lyrically, it's quite straightforward, but it just after Paul's, you know, setting for it, and we worked out the kind of shape of the song, we're really happy with this. It's always gone down well with sort of friends and audiences alike.
Immediately accessible. Love is a Straight Line,
potential single material. Yeah. Okay.
Say that there are no straight lines in nature, but you know that simply isn't true. 'Cause love is a straight line, love is a straight line, baby. There is a straight line between me and you. Oh, nature, she is good at curve, and you're proof of that. Oh, baby, you make me lose my nerve, and your love, your love, your love, your love, your love, maybe more than I deserve. They say that there are no straight lines in nature, but you know that simply isn't so. 'Cause when I laid my tired eyes
upon you. There was no other place, no other place they could go. Oh, nature, she is good at curve. You're proof of that, you're proof of that. Oh, baby, you make me lose my nerve. And your love, your love, your love, your love, your love, maybe more than I deserve. More than I deserve.
Love is a Straight Line by The Bridge. And that was, did you say the trumpet was by Martin Roberts?
Martin Roberts, yeah.
Yeah, he only picked up right, the trumpet. Yeah. I happen to know for a fact that he only picked up the trumpet quite recently. So he's learned fast because he's always been a bassist, but he's only been playing the trumpet for a few years, because I know him from the South Devon Big Band. And
that's right. Yeah,
he's a bit of a star amongst them as well. Now, with those recordings, you were saying about you've gone for sort of low key songs for the songs you have actually recorded so far. Are you keen to get some more recordings in with? Because when you did your Ashburton gig, you had people dancing in the aisles, very literally, which is a great thing to happen at a gig.
Wonderful.
You know, you've won them over when they start getting up and dancing. Are you keen to get some up-tempo ones recorded?
We are, yeah. I mean, when it came to choosing the songs we'd record with, with Matt Board, when we went out and did those recordings in October 2020, that was, we really took the songs that were most ready for recording, that we were kind of happiest with the arrangements. And they just happened to be, several of the slower ones were kind of more solid in where we wanted to be with them to, what we wanted to, we knew what we wanted out of a recording, with the exception of Show that you heard earlier on.
Mm.
And I Choose to See the Good, which is turning into a great live performance song, which I always hoped it would, which we'll, probably get onto in a minute. But love that track. Always hoped it would have a sort of potential with a sing-along. And finally at Ashburton, we had the kind of audience response thing happening, and that's lovely. Another whole layer to it. But we have got a lot more funky stuff, and we've got reggae sort of tunes that we want to lay down. Other styles which are not represented yet in the kind of recordings we've got on SoundCloud. But we're excited to, get back in the studio as soon as we can, actually.
We're
chatting now about what we're going to do with that, and particularly having Will on board now with his Sublime guitar additions. We've several of the songs we're like, we've got to get got to get this down now. You know,
yes, I will say with watching Will play, he's not in one genre, is he?
Absolutely not. No, he's a chameleon. It's amazing, actually. And he knows exactly. As I've sort of mentioned earlier, the musicality of people in the band is fantastic. I mean, Paul, you know, that goes without saying. Martin as well has got a great ear and is able to kind of contribute a lot. So we've all formed the music all together and you know, and Georgia as well.
Yeah, your voices with Georgia, your harmonies with Georgia are sublime at times. They're absolutely lovely.
Yeah, that's all her, I would say.
No,
you know, I just...
It takes two to harmonize.
I've had my ideas about you know what I'd like to hear, but she's just brilliant. She just sort of steps in and just does it. I mean, I think there were first couple of takes. Well, in fact, she only did one take on most of those when she came in the studio. She's just got a great ear, tunes right in, and you know, makes suggestions straight away. Knows what can be done.
Mm. So where would you like to see the band go?
I think we'd all like to just play more and more gigs. You know, I've a firm believer that the best bands gig a lot. And if you gig more with an outfit, you learn far more in front of a live audience than you do playing away, you know, in a kind of closed room with each other. And it's where songs really, I think, evolve is in front of an audience. And we can feel that happening already. And so, yeah, we'd love to sort of play more gigs locally and try and build up a following, which is hard for a band. As you yourself know, you know, doing originals, it takes time and it takes work, but you've also got to be visible. You've got to try and get as many gigs as you can.
Sure.
So that's our next aim. And, you know, I'd love to be at a point where we're playing little festivals and, you know, I'd love to be back at Glastonbury again one day with the bridge and playing on some sort of small stage there to a,
definitely. Kind of I can see the bridge being a very good festival band, actually. That's it's ideal.
I hope
that.
So.
Have you got anything lined up live coming up?
Well, we were just chatting last night with Ben, who runs New Line Brewery, gigs out there. So we've hopefully got a date, not been fixed yet, in October. So look out for us playing there.
Okay, good.
Hopefully at St. John's Church in Bridgetown at the end of October as well.
Right.
So hopefully things in the pipeline, but we've got a Facebook page, so yeah, people can kind of like and follow us on there, and
we'll put a link to it on the podcast for the Facebook page.
Fab. Yeah.
Well, John Inder, we are out of time. We are going to crash into Morning Connections if we're not careful, and we're going to play out with one of your tracks that you chose to play, which was "I Choose to See the Good." Tell us a little bit about that before I press the button.
Yeah, well, basically, it's after playing Curtis Mayfield, and after saying to you, I kind of enjoy the music of sort of, you know, all these sort of positive singers and, you know, your Bob Marleys and your, you know, keeping it positive. So it's a song about just taking a positive attitude, you know, amongst stuff that's happening around you. Quoting three wise men, and those happen to be, you know, Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi and a Chinese philosopher, Lao Tzu, and just about, keeping it positive and choosing to see the good stuff that's around you, which is there.
Great. Well, thank you so much, John, for joining us this morning. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. And you've been listening to the full Totnes Breakfast on Sound Art Radio 102.5 FM. We'll be back with a Friday feeling tomorrow. And this is The Bridge, and I Choose to See the Good.